You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
What is going on? Thank you for clicking play. This is episode 207 of the IT in the D Show. Guests this week include the CEO of Automation Alley, Tom Kelly, and we also have Eric Lochner here from the Outloud Group talking about YouTube advertising, content creation.
Advertising and properties of advertising.
No, he does more than that. And we got a whole bunch of events going on and a whole bunch of news.
We do. Oh, my God.
And some awesome stories this week. So, Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt. That's Gary. You're Bob and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
So what happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly.
Come on.
Someone cries.
What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. So, Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, this is Zach McGowan from Planet Earth. You're listening to IT and the D Show.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump and Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
Hey, everybody, this is Tony Todd. What's happening? You may know me from Candyman, The Rock, Sushi Girls, Zoom, Night of the Living Dead, a lot of pop culture media madness. Anyway, you're listening to IT in the D Show. Business.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, a Jet Striker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the McGumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guys. Oh!
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome. Thank you for listening once again. This is the IT and the D Show, episode 207, broadcasting live here in Studio One, Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy, the Dave the Geek across from me. Nuri the FNG is in San Antonio.
Call center launching something, screw everything about that city. Yeah.
That chat.
He loves his
boxes.
He loves his job, but not apparently not the location.
Not the, right. Shout out to Randy and Ian for filling up the Twitters. Speaking of which, follow us and like us on Facebook and the Twitters and all the other good stuff you'll find on itandthed.com. And subscribe to us everywhere fine podcasts are sold.
Hey, so HPZ workstations offer maximum performance through unique HP technology so that you can go beyond the basics to maximize your productivity, make IT management easy, and deliver a complete workstation experience. Plus, HPZ workstations are highly customizable, offering a range of features that you can mix and match to build your ideal configuration. It's the flexibility and functionality you need to easily expand and suit your evolving needs into the future. Not to mention, HP offers free shipping and returns every day, as well as free customer support 24/7/365. So you can get professional advice and support from the ones who know HP products the best anytime. Right now, you get an exclusive offer just for our listeners. You get 15% off select HP workstations with Intel Core i5 processors when you go to hp.com/itandthed and enter code itandthed at checkout. That's hp.com/itandthed and enter code itandthed to get 15% off select HP workstations. That special discount is valid only through today. So honestly, unless you're listening live, you are hosed. But we've been talking about this for 2 weeks, so you should have bought one by now already. And if you haven't, too damn bad. So whether you have a small business that's looking to grow or you're established and ready to take the next step, HP's workstations with Intel Core i5 processors are for you.
Awesome. Don't forget, mark your calendars. Oh my God, we're in
a lot.
We're in August already.
Mark your calendars a lot.
No.
Yeah, tomorrow's August, Bob.
Oh my God.
Yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Over.
Yeah, seriously.
Over.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
I keep saying this and nobody believes me. Like, I used to, like, when my grandparents used to tell me that the older you get, the faster time goes, I would laugh. I'm not laughing anymore. I'm crying. Like, I don't know how it's 2017. I don't know how it's already almost – it's the second half of 2017. Like, it's done.
It should be Blade Runner right now.
Right.
So, I mean, where's Blade Runner?
Exactly.
It'll be the fall, won't it?
Isn't that, no, you know what?
Reboot's coming out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, have you seen Ghost in the Shell yet?
Huh?
You see Ghost in the Shell yet?
No.
So if you loved Blade Runner and you like RoboCop and you like The Matrix a little bit.
Which RoboCop?
The first one.
Okay.
Not the remake.
The original? All right, yeah.
But if you liked all those movies – and you like John Wick, like violence with no blood.
Okay.
You'll love Ghost in the Shell.
Okay.
Apparently it got awful ratings
I shouldn't be mad that they cast a white girl in the role because that was all the social media fluff enough.
They really tried to make her look Asian in the beginning, which was kind of weird.
Because isn't it Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah.
Jeez,
yeah.
No.
But it was it was cool. I mean, it's kid friendly. So yeah, my 13-year-old. It was PG-13.
Okay.
They could have made it a hell lot dirtier.
So that's what's wrong with Bob's kids,
right? They watch
starting with Bob's DNA. Yeah. That's what's wrong with Bob's kids.
Do you know?
But no. So hey, speaking of, mark your calendars, dude. So we've got tomorrow night. There's the event in Ann Arbor. I can't remember if it's at Pretzel Bell or Connor O'Neill. See, this is the one time Randy's not here to correct me.
It's one or the other.
Whatever.
Go to the meat tab.
Go to the meat tab. It's there. And then next Thursday, the 10th, down at the Detroit School for Design and Technology, Detroit School for Digital Technology, at 21 and Verner in Southwest or Corktown, depending on who you ask. It's on the backside of the train station. That is where our new studio is located. And so there is an open house there. You can come down. I think it starts at 5 in the afternoon. There's an open house. You can learn all about DSDT, what they do, the courses they offer. They offer some very cool stuff. We're getting them hooked in with the Career Academy thing that we have going on with the state. But they also have, they are the only certified accredited program for drones, like learning how to fly drones properly and all that kind of stuff and passing all the tests.
I've been watching
and all that
the
stuff.
Drone racing on ESPN.
I watched it last
night. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah,
gives me a headache figuring out how those kids do
how
that.
Do you keep dude, the spatial I orientation.
I can't keep that.
Seriously.
Back at you, away from
right.
you,
I keep crashing right. into the same tree in the backyard.
Right.
And I know it's there.
Do you know who won? Did Jet win?
No.
No?
I don't know. Oh, I don't.
He's 2-time world champion.
They have a world champion drone race for now.
Oh, yeah, they do. In the London, some London museum.
Okay.
They took over an entire museum, and it was, yeah, it's crazy.
Good God.
That's right. They're trying to remove wrestling as an Olympic event, but I'll bet you drone racing will be an Olympic event.
Ribbon twirling.
Sorry, ribbon twirling is an Olympic event. But
golf, wrestling, nah.
Right.
Baseball, nah.
Hey, so you know who had a bad week?
Oh, a lot of people.
The Q line.
Every week's a bad week.
Well, but it was the first time that a car was actually damaged. You know, this was coming. Got into an accident, got into a little fender bender.
So let me. I'm gonna err on the side of the person that parked the car, because that's why the queue line hit. Someone parked the car to run in and get something. If you've lived in Detroit your whole life, it's pretty much been a lawless town.
But there have been signs everywhere for a year.
Let's say for 30 years you've gone to the same laundromat or whatever the
place.
And
you suddenly didn't notice that there were tracks underneath your feet?
Nope, because I got to pick up my dry cleaning. So I'm going to stop and
Well, then you deserve to get your car hit.
But how do you create something of $200 million? You couldn't have had like sensors brakes in the front and brakes to like not hit anything? Like it just went and barreled into the car. My Volkswagen, for crying out loud, cost $20,000 and it'll stop before it runs into a truck. Like, this thing's $200 million. You couldn't have put brake sensors in the front?
Clearly no.
No. Well, no. Who would have thought of that? Maybe it'll go through slow roll next week. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Yeah. Hey, your favorite people, though, are having a very good week, Bob.
Which ones?
Snopes.com.
You know what? Here's the thing. I liked Snopes when it was just...
Before it was cool?
No.
Hipster
not,
Bob?
Not, no. I liked Snopes when it was just doing like weird email chains and conspiracy theories. Then all of a sudden, Snopes turned into
PolitiFact,
and then it became like trying to like say what's opinion, and they were trying to say if it was false or not, and it just went in this weird angle, and it just didn't. So now, whatever they come up with, they're going to say, "Oh, you lean that way or you lean that way." And they would do both,
right?
It's not like they were one sided. They're just a two husband wife team.
That's what you always say.
I do. When it's not with my, it doesn't coincide with my thought, with my, no, but like, again, they were always like the best when it came to.
Was Bigfoot really cited at, yeah.
Right. But
is
now
Bill
it's
Gates
like,
really going to give me $10 million if I forward this email?
But yeah. Now, you know, maybe Eric, you can chime in on this from an ad perspective. Now, instead of just putting out banner ads like Drudge Report does and makes their money that way, they're like putting on a Patreon and saying like, you know, like UHF, save our station. Well, no, it was money from the people.
It was a Kickstarter, and it was the ever increasing bandwidth bills and all that kind of
stuff.
Last
time I checked, it was $500,000. It was $500,000.
They raised $681,839 in 10 days.
What's that paying for?
Operations.
The basement that the husband and wife live in.
They're not in the basement no more.
Operations like facelift, like tummy.
Right, right. Operation need to go on vacation.
That's right. Operation Bahamas.
Operation cars, car doors that go up.
Right. But no, so that's a thing. So I mean, apparently Snopes is going to be around for a while.
So. You know, we've been in the job market. It's no secret we've been in the job market
a while.
No,
we're old.
In and out for the last, me getting laid off and you bouncing contracts and whatnot. But so your next employer, if they ever said,
I'm not going to work in Wisconsin. That's for damn sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
I know.
our friends at our Three Square Market.
Yeah.
They design basically software for vending machines.
Uh-huh.
They want to put chips in their employees' arms.
Yep. Microchips, yeah.
And no, guess
the employees want the chips. If you read that article, a huge percentage of them actually volunteered for it.
Well, it's because they sell it.
And it is part of their job. They get paid.
Right.
Right.
Right. When my boss comes in and says, "Hey, how would you like to take on this new project? I would love to spearhead
that." Right. It's right up there with, "Hey, honey, why don't we take out the trash?" That really means that I'm taking out the trash,
right.
And I understand.
That's
no,
right.
But, dude, I mean, think back. Honestly, this really didn't surprise me all that much, man. Think back to PenguinCon for the last 2 years. People have been sitting there getting RFID implants, by Joe Schmo sitting at a booth. Slapping them in there, for things like I want to be Luke Skywalker and impress my kids when I can wave my hand and the garage door opens.
Dude, hey. We're submitting our DNA to God knows who.
We're not.
to see that we're Dutch.
I'm
10%
not.
Scandinavian. Who cares?
I thought I was German. I had to trade in my lederhosen for a kilt.
And now
I'm on a watch list.
And my DNA's on file. Right?
How did that happen? I like the fact that they call it a chips and salsa party.
Right.
You got chips in the arm and salsa, right. You know. Go.
Can't eat your arm, though.
This is an honest confession. I didn't know, but when I first had my when our first child was born, I said, wait a second, is it legal? Can I chip my kid? Because, you know, you have all these
Our dogs are chipped.
Yeah, I did it to my dog.
Dog is
it to
it's
my
a
kid?
Dog.
No, it's illegal. You can't do it.
Really? But you can do it to people with Alzheimer's.
When you're old.
Really?
Yes. Oh, really? That's how there's actually a – because, God, we had them on our show a year and a half ago. So that if like grandpa has Alzheimer's and wanders off, you can go to the website and it's not activated. Like it's apparently
findmygrandpa.com.
It's totally it's like findmysomethingorother.com. And it activates it and GPS it activates it and puts off the GPS pinger and you can go find grandpa.
Does grandpa
and the next version
allegedly no.
Apparently the next version is going to shock them and to go in different directions. Right.
Right.
Start walking left.
Better lead them back home. That'd be even better yet.
Shocks him in the right arm and it forces him to go left.
Like warmer, cooler.
Yeah. Cooler. Hey, I'm watching grandpa on the GPS. He's very close.
So you can
always getting agitated.
You
know, don't drive angry.
You can't
don't drive angry.
You
don't
can't chip your kid. But you can lop off the turtleneck of his wiener, and that's completely fine. Like, where are we in society?
Nobody wants a snuffleupagus. Let's be real. Nobody does. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants to see it. Nobody knows.
You know who I haven't talked to this week? I want to find out their opinions. You know, the Lyft driving community is pissed.
Dude. And they have anger.
And here's the thing. Well, if I'm Lyft, I think it's amazing that I signed a deal with Taco Bell. So, like, while I'm going home, I can pull it through the drive-through and grab myself a couple tacos.
Well, yeah, I guess let's clarify the promotion. The promotion is that if you summon a Lyft, there is an extra button that they added in between the hours of 10 p.m. and 3 a.m., I believe, that says, yep, run for the border.
The tea hour.
Yeah, the tea hour. That's right, the fourth meal hours.
Yeah.
And then the other part is that on the Lyft driver side, there's an opt-in that they have to be willing to take part in this as well. And then if your Lyft driver picks you up and it's one of the taco drivers, they will drive you through Taco Bell to let you pick up tacos, which is amazing. But like until Lyft added in that opt-in on the driver's side, drivers are been like, I don't want people eating messy effing tacos in my backseat.
I've never not eaten Taco Bell in the car and not getting stuff everywhere.
Dude, I've never eaten Taco Bell in the car.
I do all the time.
Because of course you have. That's why the valet guy at the Westin remembered you from a year ago and immediately asked you if he could clean out your car.
I'm not saying that. But wait, how pissed would you be if you're just all tanked after the bar and you decide to lift because you want Taco Bell and then that driver just happens not to opt in? You're going to get into a fight.
Right. Well, then Grubhub. I mean, that, you know, there's better ways to do this than have your Lyft guy stop.
Well,
I mean, just
hey, Uber guy, here's 20. Drive me through a Taco Bell.
Yeah. That's the way normal people do it. We had an Uber guy drop off a Crave case at the bar. He didn't even drive us anywhere. Two Crave cases.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, we were at a bar, and we were like, oh, you know what we need right now? White Castle. So I call an Uber. And the guy and as soon as the driver accepted, I saw where he was, and it's, you know, you can contact him. So I call him, and I'm like, hey man, he's like, oh, what?
Wow,
he's like,
smart.
He's like, what's up? I'm like, here's the deal, like I don't actually need you to come pick us up. And he was like, all right. I'm like, between your location and us, there are two White Castles. I need you to pick up two Crave cases on the way here. When you get here, I will pay you for the ride, pay you for the Crave cases, and tip you $20. And he was like, for real? I'm like, yeah, dude, that's what we need. He's like, all right.
He was there in 15 minutes. Yeah.
Way to gain assist.
Yeah, seriously. Right. Again, like, I don't, yeah.
Were
I don't,
any missing?
No. So, yeah, people were stunned. They were, right? They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, getting White Castle delivered. They're like, no, you're not. Yeah. Sure enough, White Castle. Like, oh, you'd have thought I was Jesus turning, like, water into wine.
So
you see the future.
Is this a paid spot by Grubhub, one of our new clients?
No. The company that's worth more than all the restaurants, combined worth more than all the restaurants
that you order
combined.
From? Yeah.
they don't make no food, Grubhub. Why are you worth more than all those restaurants combined? You remember, I'm going to go to like, member?
I remember.
In elementary school, when you're like, you hit control run stop when you got into the code.
Yeah.
And you thought you were a hacker.
Yeah.
And you were like, that's some cool. I am a bad, like, and I, you know, then you change, like, because it was all text-based and you change,
right.
You know.
Instead of like gathering food, you were gathering poop and you thought you were hilarious. And,
right. Lemonade stand became, you know,
pee stand.
Apparently.
Hungry.
Yeah.
They're still at that point in life.
They're at that point. The Transport Authority
speaking of Q-Line, this is their transit system.
Right.
Yeah.
they built this software program. Basically, they wanted it to be ready for the World Championships for soccer.
So once again, people listening at home, do not let date dictate delivery.
Right. So we need it now. It's like, okay, you're going to get it now. It ain't going to be good. But apparently the admin screen, the password was admin. And it was broke. There was just code. There was bugs galore.
Yep.
And apparently some kid figured out. The story calls him a hacker, but he's a hacker just like I was when I was, you know, changing lemonade stand.
He's a hacker the way that, like, we made Bill poop his pants. At the pink slip party because he left his phone on the table.
Right.
That's yeah.
Our friend left his phone open. I said, I bet you his password's 1234. And it was. So we immediately went on Facebook and said, oh my God, I just pooped my pants in the bar. Could somebody bring me a change of clothes?
And then, of course, we went to our phones and started replying, adding validity to it. So yeah.
So this kid figures out if you hit F12 in this program, you can change the price to whatever
you want. It's in a browser.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is standard functionality in a browser. I mean, it's like, and so he was like, oh, he's like, well, this is what browsers do. I'm going to hit F12 on the order screen. Well, F12 lets you then take a look at everything, like say, oh, change the price of the ticket you're about to buy down to free, and then go ahead and close that and submit, and you've got free tickets.
No, but he made it from he at least didn't make it free. He made it whatever it was, 30 euro, and he made it like 50 cents.
Yeah,
right. So it's not like he at least wanted to pay.
So
like,
he's just a socialist, not a communist.
Right. but here's what, like, a couple weeks go past, and the police end up booking this kid and arresting him for hacking
and hire him to run their IT department.
Right,
too, which is what they should be doing.
Hacking, right? I mean,
well, no, that happened to me when I was 15. It was our first network. It was a hub and spoke in the school. I'm a sophomore, and I'm making fun of all the kids that were getting C's in class. And they're like, and they got around to the teacher. Bobby's making fun of me for how did he see? And I just said, I go, you left this thing all wide open. I didn't steal anybody's password.
All I did was look.
The superintendent came in. Like, I thought I was getting expelled. And, like, that's what I did. You know, I'm going – and after that and after getting busted for freaking, I'm like, I'm going to business school. you don't get in trouble.
I never had that moment.
Yeah, it was when you get the – there was a 7-digit code you can dial free long distance. AT&T used it for employees. So we wrote basically a new numeric program that dialed every combination of overnight, and you would print out a page of everyone that worked. So then you would use that for dialing BBSs in 248, so we wouldn't get long-distance bills.
Wait, and you never heard of Captain Crunch?
No.
So Captain Crunch is one of the old-school, like, back in the day, like, famous, like, Kevin Mitnick, Captain Crunch. This is the guy that figured out that in Captain Crunch cereal, they gave away a whistle.
That
tone was what set payphones into free mode. And so that's the guy that figured that out, and that's why Captain Crunch had to recall all the boxes with the whistles and all that kind of stuff, but which is all because it's 2600 megahertz or 2600 hertz, which is why the hacking magazine was 2600 and also why Atari named their gaming system 2600
because it was cool. Oh my gosh. Yeah,
see?
All the stuff you learned.
This is the edumacation right here.
You know, forget the Shot of History podcast. We're going to do like – the member.
Back in my day.
Remember? You know, there's certain days I love the internet, like when someone makes an augmented reality for the AHA video.
Dude, that was awesome.
That's insanely awesome.
And it's all off of the preview version of iOS 11 and the ARKit. I mean, it's friggin' – and the ARKit. It's friggin' amazing. Wow.
But no, so like that's great. And then there's times where I hate the internet where you have conspiracy theorists that –
dude, I love this story.
– plot it out where the – basically where all of the Outback steakhouses are. You can draw a pentagram between them all and how they're bundled, how their locations are bundled. So someone went through this painstaking process of taking
literally
screenshots
every
of Google Maps.
Every major metropolitan area around the globe that has like at least five Outback steakhouse locations – It's insane. They're like, oh, you pentagram. Now, granted, it could also be a pentagon, but that's not fun for conspiracy theories.
Or it could be
theories.
A star.
Right. But that's not fun for conspiracy theorists, so it has to be a pentagram. So, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But, like there's screenshots of Google Maps.
That's crazy.
And, like, right. But to me, it's not pentagrams. It looks like stars. Like, it's not, like, it's stupid. Like, oh, it's pentagram, devil. I'm like, yeah, great. The devil's giving me a steak and shrimp for $15.99. I like the devil. You know, like, well, come on. Where are you going to go? So, like, what are they trying to prove? They're going to put them out of business?
Jeez, a restaurant to have a strategy of being in the city center and then equidistant restaurants all around the city?
Oh, what
would
do that? Right?
Oh, yeah, what a novel
That's
concept. moment of silence, please. Adobe has announced the most underwhelming announcement in the history of technology announcements. Flash will die at the end of 2020.
Dun, dun, dun.
For those
Flash.
Of you, yeah. For those of you who didn't know that Flash was still alive.
I was gonna say, where is it still alive? Go to like not sumo.com. What was like the Flash screens? That was the worst. Like to have these like 15-second intros.
Oh, the Flash intros that were all the rage in like 2001, 2002. Oh my God, they were painful. But yeah, so they've announced that the Flash end of life will be the end of 2020. Thank God.
So here, this is an interesting topic to get into, and we'll end the first segment on this. The data security world's nuts as it is. You can't keep up, and once you basically patch, everyone's done three things to get around it.
Well, so I know where you're going with this. Let's do the precursor to that, which is DEF CON, because that was going on. Got their hands on 30 different versions of voting machines that are used across the United States, and within 90 minutes had completely owned all of them. All of them. 90 minutes. 30 different flavors.
We're going to have to go back to paper pencil, Scantrons. For voting, like this,
90 minutes.
Oh my God!
30 different voting machines.
Did they have any technology in with them?
No, they had to go. Well, they can come in with like a US, like anything that like you could walk up to a voting machine and do. So they had like you could bring a USB drive. You could do this. You guys, it was like, you know, typical. I mean, DEF CON's really solid with trying to like real world hacking examples.
Yeah.
90 minutes.
Frightening. I mean, so what this is boiled down
to. Yeah, so back to, yeah.
So now, I mean, that's the one thing you don't want to piss off is the hacker community, right? Or Anonymous. It's the last people I want. Or 4chan people. Those are the last three people I want on my shit list.
You guys made fun of the Scientologists opening up in Detroit.
All day.
I was like, oh, please don't talk about them when I'm there.
Screw them and Xenu.
Yeah. I lived in L.A. for
Xenu up sticking your ass.
Fear God.
But now the hacking community is basically started with a hashtag, because all good things start with a hashtag.
Uh-huh.
But Leak the Analyst campaign.
Yep.
And they're going after the security analysts. And it's funny, a company called
Mandiant.
Yeah. And one of its employees, a hacker, spent a year inside his computer.
Dude, and this is
– of a company.
And this is why you don't piss off real geeks, because we have patience. We truly do. It won't happen tomorrow.
This was a company that got acquired by FireEye for $1 billion that does forensics.
Yeah.
Like, that's their job.
And he sat inside the dude's computer and their network for a year gathering shit.
Wow. And he dumped his email box.
His inbox, his files, his – and anything. Dude, it's not pretty. It's really, really not.
Wait, why are they going – they're going after the guys who did this?
They're going after the analysts that are tracking them.
The hackers, yeah.
Wow.
So this company's whole point is to find them.
Yeah, the whole essence of being for like, – because like you said, Mannion does forensic analysis. So, you know, somebody gets hacked. All right, let's go in. They're the guys that go in, figure out how it happened, where it happened, who did it, and all that fun stuff. So, fine. You want to go after us? We'll go after you. Here's how that's going to work out for you. And like I said, the best part of this entire thing to me is that just sat there for a year. Just
no.
Give me more.
The best part is.
The guy's LinkedIn profile.
We just have a numbing agent, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So you don't
yeah, exactly.
The slow knife is the one that kills.
You
put the frog in the water and you let it start to boil. The frog never moves. Yeah.
It's one thing you change my Facebook page. I'll say, hey, it got hacked.
Right.
No one's LinkedIn page gets hacked.
No.
Right? So they basically hacked this guy's, this analyst's Facebook. Or, well, I'm sorry.
Because he probably used the same password everywhere like an idiot.
Right. But his LinkedIn, his basically his LinkedIn profile, uh-huh. his picture became a butthole.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically.
It became basically a variation of Goatsy, yeah.
Right. And basically his name was like Addy Assy Press or whatever. I don't even know what kind of language that is. It could be, you know. But it's like asshole effed up analyst at effed up Mandiant.
Yeah.
And, right? And then basically it just trashes. And that's, you know, he couldn't change it back.
No. Because they went in and changed their passwords. And it's, oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's, dude, it's a weird, you know, we've talked to the CBI guys about this. I mean, it, once you decide, if you decide that that's really the career you want to get into, you got to think long and hard about how much you're going to isolate yourself.
So if you want to get, you want to get scared real quick, let me read what they wrote. We'll end the segment on this. Basically, they wrote this letter. It's a short, you know, I'll go through it really quick. Nobody understands.
I am a hacker, and this is my manifesto. No,
right.
I'm sorry.
Nobody understands the amount of dedication it takes to break into a highly secured network, to bypass every state-of-the-art security measure installed to make a targeted network unbreakable, to code and hack not for the money, but for the pleasure of being somewhere no one can be to be addicted to pain. He goes, for a long time, we, the 31,337 hackers, try to avoid these fancy-ass analysts.
Bob, that's elite. That's what that means.
Great.
I'm just saying.
The elite hackers. Yeah. That's not – whatever.
It is.
Oh, my God. I'm not even embarrassed now because I don't know and I don't care. I'm not in that world. I don't know. Try to avoid these fanciest analysts was trying to trace our attack footprints back to us to prove they are better than us. And we say F the consequences. Let's track them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and go after everything they've got. Bam. Drop the mic.
Dude, it's
like – I've never seen elite type like that. That's hilarious now.
Seriously? Never?
No, not like that. Anyway,
eh.
It's 31,000 hackers. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Tom Kelly, the CEO of Automation Alley. This is the IT in the D show. I forgot what show it was. We'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland, Secret Life of the American Teenager, and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Drums, please.
Welcome back. Segment 2, episode 207. This is the IT in the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio 1, Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob, the sales guy, here with Dave the Geek. Nuri, the FNG, is gone, but in
allegedly
his place,
working.
Randy, I do the Twitter's Walker, is in studio now. Shout out to him and Ian for keeping the Twitter's full.
He showed up, so hey, where's the event tomorrow night?
Pretzel Bell, downstairs at the bar.
Ann Arbor. 50-50 shot.
Right.
We just announced both. And go to our Meet tab and you can find it.
They're not far apart, so if you show up at one and we're not there, go to the other one.
The Meet tab is M-E-E-T for those keeping score at home.
So we still have no meat sticks.
No, we're working on that. The guys here that were supposed to bring them failed, so we can yell at them in segment 3.
Yes.
Find us online, itinthed.com, and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold. This segment is brought to you by our very, very good friends at Eero. The single router Wi-Fi model doesn't work anymore, especially in a house like mine with 3 floors, slate floors everywhere.
Dude, your house – I love you, but your house sucks.
It looks good.
It looks good, but it's logistically – it's like our studio that we pulled out of downtown. It's just logistically challenging.
Right. Like, wow, that looks great. Like, I got to wait. How many steps do I got to go to go to your office?
Wait. I want
to
hear the end of this multi-router ad.
No, we're getting there. So, hey, whatever your Wi-Fi needs are, Eero has the power to seamlessly blanket your home. Fast, reliable Wi-Fi via Ethernet, wireless, or any combination. Simply set it on a flat surface or plug into a wall outlet to expand coverage to any room. Now, it's not the traditional –
not a repeater or anything like that.
Because that cuts your bandwidth in half. This is true shared Wi-Fi.
Oh, it's insane.
Mesh network. Not to mention with the addition of a third 5 gigahertz radio, the second generation Eero is now a tri-band and twice as fast as its predecessor. Let's customers do more in every room of their home simultaneously. Now, with the addition of a new Thread radio, Eero can connect to low-power devices such as locks, doorbells, and other sensors. Very cool. Meanwhile, Eero Beacon is half the size and more powerful than the original. Whatever model you choose, with Eero's incredible customer support, you can call and get a hold of a Wi-Fi expert within 30 seconds.
Dude, I'm loving it in the house. I mean, like I said, you know, so I mean, I've got three of them. I went through and, you know, we've got the new stuff going. You know, we've got the pool going in the backyard, you know, and I know I'm going to be hanging out on the back deck and all that stuff. So I'm just making, dude, our house, the network saturation in my house, I'm surprised the neighbors aren't mad at me because we're interfering with theirs at this point. It's amazing. And like, honestly, to me, the best feature is the guest network. The little, hey, got an app on your phone. Hey, I don't have to worry about, you know, giving passwords to people. I don't have to worry, you know, hey, here's a text message. Boop, done.
Well, not just that. It was so easy. I installed it in 10 minutes.
You did, and you didn't have to call me once.
I didn't call that you
was
once.
The, and that was, still works. That's my favorite part. I'm not going to lie.
It still works. No, and the thing is, with three kids in the house, there's no lag. They're all on YouTube. They're all on Netflix.
They're all, yeah.
Three TVs. Yeah, there's zero lag in the house, nope. Which is pretty amazing. So, hey, do us a favor. For free overnight shipping, visit Eero, that's Eero.com. Select overnight as a shipping option and enter IT in the D at checkout. Eero.com, offer code IT in the D.
Very cool stuff.
So, hey, we are joined by, he used to be the COO of Automation Alien. Now, you know, enter trumpet music here. We got the new CEO of Automation Alley, Tom Kelly. How you doing?
I'm doing
so
great.
Did you kill? I've been watching a lot of Game of Thrones. Did you kill the CEO to take over?
The rumor is he retired. Now, he hasn't been seen since he left Automation right. Alley. And I'm not saying.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a new patch of concrete out back.
That's right.
No, so A, congratulations, and
thanks,
B,
man.
How are things going?
It's going great. You know, Automation Alley has been this company's been around for 19 years. I mean, it's a long, long time. It's been around.
For those that don't know what it is, I mean, because that's one of the questions Eric said when he walked in. Is like, what's Automation Alley?
And besides a sign on 75,
that too. No, but what is it for those that don't even know?
So Automation Alley is an organization made up of about 800 members. We have technology companies and manufacturers, and then the whole ecosystem around that. So we try to bridge the gap between technology and manufacturing. Because everything is changing that we know about how you're going to manufacture stuff. And, you know, this state, we're big in manufacturing. We do great aerospace. We do great defense. We do great auto. So,
regardless of all the hype and all that stuff about all the technology startups downtown, there are still other industries running around the state.
Yeah, and you know, maybe like a trillion-dollar industry.
Right.
That happens to be a pretty big one that we tend to dominate. But what's happening in the auto industry, aerospace, defense, you know what's happening. This technology wave is coming faster and faster and faster. You see it on the autonomous vehicle.
I was going to say,
side.
Whether it's autonomous or IoT, connected car, you name it, it's and honestly, like, I'm loving it because, I mean, I'm loving the conversations now where people are like, oh, yeah, dude, I've got Wi-Fi built into my car. The podcast app is built into the Apple, you know, the Apple setup in my dashboard. I can just boop, subscribe and listen while I'm driving. Life's good.
I bought my Impala because it had CarPlay. Right?
There you go.
That's why I bought my Spark.
That's right. Right. Because it has the integration. And Google, Android, same thing. Right?
I got my car to get to work.
Sorry. But if you think about what's happening with that whole mobility thing, all the technology is washing in. Well, the same thing's happening in the factories.
Yep.
So you got robotics, and that leads to cybersecurity issues. Then you have, you know, the robots are generating a ton of data. They're putting sensors everywhere. That leads to a big data problem. And all these guys are saying, look, I used to bend metal. Now I got to put a sensor on something. I need an electrical engineer. Who owns the data?
Yep.
How am I going to handle the data? Now I got to lock the data down with cybersecurity. What the hell's going on? I bend metal. Right? So these guys have these questions all the time. So we try. That's why we're taking Automation Alien in this direction, to talk exclusively about what we call Industry 4.0, sort of the fourth industrial revolution.
Okay.
So the first was agriculture. Second was Henry Ford and electricity. Third was kind of a mini revolution because it was just computers and robotics. It didn't sort of transform everything. So now they're calling this the fourth industrial revolution, where it's going to be the digital meets the physical. You know, AR, VR, cybersecurity, everything's
3D print.
Everything's data. Yeah,
3D print. 3D we didn't get to a story. There's a startup that basically said we can 3D print metal in 200 different alloys at 10 times cheaper, 10 times faster
Listen,
than any predecessor.
I was at the Paris Air Show because we took a trade mission to 10 of our manufacturers and helped them get a bunch of sales over there. But I watched a 3D printer that doesn't print this way, vertically, I'm doing with my hand on radio.
but see, and that's why we're adding video.
But horizontally, they built a missile cowling, 3D printed it.
Dude.
Think about the threat. If you're like, oh, I'm a metal forger and I make these cowlings, and not anymore. I printed in my factory.
Dude.
Yeah, metal. Crazy.
I remember,
two or three
years ago, we went to the auto show and they were 3D printing cars.
Yeah, driving around, driving a go-kart.
Every 22 track. Hours, car.
They're putting car. On houses, center yeah. block in 24 hours.
It's crazy.
And it's not Lego. it's actually real carbon fiber stuff that they're pulling together. Yeah, so this whole
honest, I'd actually be more impressed if it were Legos. I mean,
it takes you back, right?
Can you imagine what a Lego house would cost? Like $4 billion.
That's right.
Millennium Believe Falcon costs
$500.
I have two
young girls, and I go into that store, and I think, how can you charge me $500 for that thing?
Well, because you'll pay it.
Right. Exactly. Well, we've talked about this. The sad reality is that Lego sets hold their value and appreciate faster than gold.
Are you kidding?
Nope. That's a real stat.
And I've been throwing them out.
Exactly.
No, I'm kidding. I just got the evil eye.
Yeah.
What?
You did what?
Yeah. So as you look at what's happening, you know, these manufacturers are saying, "How? I know things are changing, but I have no idea how to do that." So we started this thing called Tech Takeovers. Every Wednesday, you can be sure you can come to Automation Alley in the morning. We'll give you breakfast, and you can learn about one of these topics. Maybe one week it'll be cybersecurity. Next will be big data. Next will be AI. Artificial intelligence,
yep.
At least we don't know. For this audience, everybody knows that. But for my audience, what's AI, right?
It's scary as hell. That's what it is.
But then you have these issues where now you have 3D printing and you have advanced materials. And all of this is coming at once. It's like the spoke on the wheel. It's all coming to the center hub. And these manufacturers have to understand all of these technologies at once. So it's for tech industries outside of the region – they are all getting into this space, not just on the mobility side, but on the factory side, because they're betting that they can understand our business model faster than we can understand technology.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it's the same. It's like I've always said, you know, the reason why, you know, Walmart has thrived and grown while Kmart fell by the wayside and died is Kmart had legacy. Kmart had, you know, big iron, it had mainframes, it had all that legacy infrastructure, whereas Walmart came onto the scene when the relational database was already out there.
Yeah.
So they started with this generation technology and didn't have to worry about legacy integrations and that kind of stuff and way cut down their overhead right from the get-go. And that's one of the things that ultimately tanked Kmart.
And now where the digital meets the physical, they're saying, well, I don't need the physical anymore. I just going to go right to digital. So look at what Amazon's now doing to Walmart and the rest of the industry.
Yep.
Because you have to fight this
Well, battle. I don't need a bookstore full of books because I can print on demand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When I drove to Milwaukee last week, they had the Amazon Fulfillment Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it was as big as the GM plant on Updike back in the day. It just went forever. And all it was now hiring signs from left to right on the highway.
Well, they've got the one in Livonia, and they're opening up another one in – is it Sterling Heights?
Hazel Park.
There's a
racetrack.
They're opening up a couple of them.
Well,
it's crazy.
And think that even for Amazon, that's a way station because if you can 3D print a mixed components local, now the Barbie doesn't get warehoused at the Amazon. It gets built in the Toys R Us behind you while the kid totally customizes that Barbie to exactly what she wants.
Well, Amazon doesn't want that, though.
No, of course not. That's what I mean. No. So Amazon is running as fast as possible because they're like, we're going to get disintermediated here, too.
So that's an interesting conversation, Tom, I want to bring up. Because, like, you look at Foxconn is opening up a $10 billion plant in Wisconsin? They're choosing between
allegedly.
Right, allegedly. I know it's allegedly. But you have Fox, you have everyone wanting to outsource. You can't buy a piece of electronics in this country that isn't made in Asia.
Right.
And yet here you have the biggest Asian silicon manufacturer moving to the Midwest.
Because Asia's played out. I think I'm hopeful that
the U.S. is in for a huge resurgence in manufacturing.
Well, I mean, it's the laws of supply and demand. I mean, even from a, like a development standpoint. So first it was outsource everything to India. Well, then because it was cheaper. Well, then demand got too high in India. Prices kept climbing up. All right, now we're going to Russia, or now we're going to, you know, Turkey, or now we're going to wherever. And it's just – it's come – okay, demand raise, you know, demand raises, supply shrinks. All right, now we're opening call centers in Nebraska. Now we're, you know, Rent-A-Coder is opening up a location, you know, in the Midwest. It's, I mean, that's a thing.
Yeah. And coupled with that, the speed of innovation is I need collaborators close together that are interacting real time. I can't wait 12 hours to follow the sun because it's moving too fast now. So they're starting to nearshore back to play. I was just reading in the New York Times. All of these companies are starting to nearshore to places like Michigan, where they're getting these coders. I mean, you're probably talking about that more than I am. But
we've been talking about outsourcing rural for 15 years.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, just saying.
But it's accelerating now,
right? But if you look at like the wages have come down so much, not only that, the you know, you look at like where Trigicon manufactures, middle of Podunk, Michigan, putting out $1,500 gun sights. You know what I mean? Like you're not getting a lack of quality by outsourcing rural,
right?
But it's going to be like Callahan Auto Parts, where these towns are going to rely on these companies because they're moving in these huge facilities. And if they pull out, it turns into a Flint.
But that the opposite side of that coin is the risk. What technology is going to do to that business? They have to stay up. That's this whole Industry 4.0 concept of helping them keep up. Right.
Well, that's why you look at the automotives. I mean, you know, they're trying to, again, legacy infrastructure. Yeah. They're trying to retool and redesign all their plants to give them more component-based flexibility. So, yeah, they might be doing trucks today, but, you know, tomorrow they're doing sedans. At the six-hour mark, they're shifting everything out and swapping in SUVs. I mean, it's
And where the region is stuck, and this isn't a regional problem, it's actually a global problem, is that when you get away from the OEMs and the tier ones, when you get to tier two on down, which is the bulk of the supply chain, the long tail, none of them are doing anything.
Kicking and screaming. They're going to get dragged into this.
Kicking and screaming.
Kicking and screaming.
I make my bolts. Don't tell me how to make my bolts.
Yep. And you say, you need
my
to
dad made my bolts.
Right.
That's right. So they go, what the hell do I do?
Are your Wednesday sessions open to anyone?
Yeah, they're open to anybody.
Do you have to register?
Well, they're free to members. They're $20 for non-members, but And I just thought of this, so it's not on the website yet, but we can set up a code that if you're listening, you're IT in the D, and you put that in, you can come for free too.
Cool.
But I got to put it on tomorrow.
All right.
Right. If you come tonight live broadcast, you're going, you son of a bitch.
That's happened before.
What's this $20 charge? But we're happy to do it because we're trying to get the knowledge out. So we have people like, FireEye in to talk about cybersecurity.
Sure.
We have a lot of robotics guys come in. Baco's a great robot. Manufacturer.
The little bacon bit things?
No?
Not okay. Yeah. So I like those.
Sorry, Mike. all ad is good ad.
Right.
just spell it right.
Yeah. And, you know, we have people like Autodesk there talking about what's going on in digital design. We got people, a cool company called Daiquiri that has these virtual goggles you put on, like a Google Glass, but really for the
Really, there's a company named after an alcohol that makes goggles.
It's D-A-Q-R-I.
Yeah, I'm like,
kind of company.
I'm like, it's like, you know, beer goggles. It's nice. That's amazing.
And I know the demand is there. And I know the demand is there because we're sold out for these. We're booking in February already. So every Wednesday we do a morning session and an afternoon session, 2 hours. They're already gone.
That's awesome.
Everybody's all lined up wanting to teach what's going on here. And the demand is there. We're getting 50, 60, 70 people at a time to come to these events to learn about all these technologies because nobody knows what to do, but they all have the fear that they know things are changing and it's happening. Well, look at what Comcast is doing in Detroit. They're putting in this whole low-power overlay over their broadband to handle the Internet of Things because you got to get that low-power sensor fed to some local, very close relay that then passes it on. in a very inexpensive way. So
to
different
tell Amazon
than
what's not in my refrigerator.
That's where they're going, right? And whether you like it or not.
Well, no, I mean it's and that's one of the flashing back to Q Line. That's one of the things that we've heard over and over and over again from people is that the it's supposed to have great Rocket Fiber's doing it too. They laid the fiber when they laid the tracks.
Yeah, right.
And yet somehow the wireless still sucks.
Yeah, how's
on
that,
on so I mean it's because of
it
that.
Does not have Eero.
Yes, right. They need Eero. So as it turns out, Tina Turner, we do need another Eero. That's right.
Oh, man.
You're going to smack me, aren't you?
Yeah. So it's been going great. I mean, we just started this strategy when I came in last August. So it's been almost a year. We got all this stuff set up. And we did something else that was pretty pretty bold in that we said we're going to have a conference on all of these technologies in Detroit. It's November 9th. This is our inaugural year for it. It's November 9th. It's called Integrate. And because we focus on eight sectors, I mentioned them, cybersecurity, AR, VR, all that stuff, eight sectors. It's going to be eight tracks. And we said, if you're an engineer or an IT professional in Detroit and you want to learn about any of these sectors, you always have to get on a plane and go somewhere else to get that information. And we said, we're going to bring all the tech companies here and talk about what's going on because we're huge users of the technology. We're the user community of all this stuff.
Right.
And so we're going to see if we can spin this session up and really make Detroit a knowledge center for all of these technologies. Because the sad thing is all these technologies, almost none of them are created here. They're all created somewhere else. But nobody in the world can do a better job of assimilating them all together, especially when you're going down the path of mobility for cars and factory automation. They work together beautifully.
Yep.
So that's what we're trying to do. And we're expecting 500-600 people for this show.
So this is just one day?
It's one day, November 9th. We hope over time it just grows. It gets a little bigger. I mean, we'd love to take Kobo over someday. But today we're going to do it at the Marriott.
So it's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday. It's November 9th. And it's a global event. So we have speakers coming in from all over the world talking about these topics.
So are you going to – is it just like attendee only? Are you going to be live streaming any of it? Or are you going to – or is it just basically get your ass there and yeah?
We would like to live stream it. We haven't figured out that nut yet, how we're going to do that, how we can afford it. We absolutely want to do that though.
Okay.
That's a wonderful
Next Wednesday's session.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Hey, come on out. IT and the D is here. They're live streaming, guys. Yeah. Let's check it out. I mean, fun stuff.
We ought to do that. We ought to be at this.
Done.
You ought to do Integrate for sure because it's a big, big event, right? So we have all kinds of speakers that are coming in.
Yeah, like
Howie chose it from Carnegie Mellon.
Okay.
One of the world leaders in robotics. We have all kinds of speakers. June Nee from U of M, who is the National Center for Manufacturing professor. He helped write the China 2025 policy, which, by the way, is all Industry 4.0. They're actually automating faster than we are as a country. And you think, well, they got all that labor. They know what's happening. They know that the labor equation is going to get minimized, and you have to stay ahead of the curve. And so do we. I mean, we can't fight that battle. We have to be able to automate. And quite frankly, if we automate, we'll actually create more jobs for us because all those jobs that were a labor battle, we lost those a decade ago.
Yeah.
And more than a decade.
And no matter how badly you say, the South is not going to rise again.
That's right. You got to put that to bed.
Those jobs are not coming back.
But what we can do is create these great jobs of how do you work alongside a robot? Right? How do you make 10 of something when Mexico?
Very carefully.
Right.
Today you do. But yeah, this Baco, not the bacon bits, but Baco, the robotics guy, they're showing how they just teach the robot by moving the hand and it does what it's supposed to do and it puts it in a box. I mean, it's crazy what's capable today. And you think, well, the thing that always fascinates me is like when a child picks up an iPad and intuitively knows how to use it.
Yep.
But you go into a plant and nothing makes sense whatsoever. Well, that's where we're going with Industry 4.0. You should be able to walk in and say, well, I pick up the iPad and I know exactly what to do.
Right.
Right? That's the holy grail of what you want to get to. Why do I need to know how to work anything?
Yeah, why do I have to have been here for 20 years to understand how this works?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fascinating, and you can tell I'm pretty geeked about it.
It sounds very cool. I mean, honestly, and that's why I was saying I think we want to be there, just because some of the best shows that we've had have been the live remotes we've done, you know, from security conferences and that kind of stuff. It sounds like it's going to be a very cool thing.
Oh, you're going to get speakers from all over the world that you pull aside and say, hey, come over, talk to us. You know, it's going to be cool. So we want to do that with you. We think it'll be a lot of fun. When you think about everything we're trying to do, the battle we have is getting people to pay attention and not being apathetic.
Right.
Right. You get the 50-year-old, 60-year-old guy says, I've been bending metal for 40 years and
what are you
going to
teach me?
This out until
I'm riding this out for 5 years.
As soon as I can't make money, I'm out. And you think, well, but the region's got to survive. You can't just check out, right? We need to keep building on this.
Well, it was funny. That was part of the conversation that Jimmy was having yesterday when he was firing up ARC Junkies. Was, you know, why would somebody pick weld? Because he's a welder.
Yeah.
Why would somebody pick welding as a tech as a career today? Yeah. And it was really kind of cool just hearing, you know, his
$100,000
a year. Yeah, I was going to say six figures,
dude. It's well, but people don't think that. People don't know that. And you know, and plus, you know, he was talking about like, you know, if you want to, you can go hop over to the Middle East, you know, for some of these American companies that are doing stuff over there and make more than that.
Absolutely.
You know, so I mean, it's it's kind of cool. I mean, you don't think of welding and traditional technologies as still being out there.
Right.
You know, and we've had the conversation with the Mob Steel guys at TEDx last year where, you know, part of the issue is that Voc-Tech is gone from schools. Like, there's no basic shop classes anymore. There's none of that stuff going on anymore. And so you have a whole generation of kids that have come up that don't know, don't think it's cool, don't think it's a viable option, don't really want to go there. And so we have that entire huge freaking industry here where you have, and you know, whether it's electricians or welders or whoever else that are like, Jesus Christ, like the average median age of our guys is like 50 years old. And then we got nobody coming up behind them to take this stuff over. Like that's a problem.
And the sad thing is that every parent wants their kid to go to college and sees a skilled trade as something less than college. But every kid, their passion is not college.
Right.
Their passion is more, I want to work with my hands. I want to be in it. And there are so many skilled trades now where there's a shortage.
It's crazy.
Oh, you could darn near write your ticket. And you have no debt.
Yeah,
because the company will train every CEO I talk
to be an apprentice.
They're desperate.
Yeah,
well, and that's what a lot of tech companies have switched to now. Whether it's Detroit Labs or CBI and a couple other companies that we know of, same kind of thing. They couldn't find the people that they wanted to be developers for them, so they bring them in these apprentice programs. You know, pay them a living wage while they're there, and then when they make it through that program, they hire them. It's that same model.
We're running an apprentice program right now, and we're oversubscribed on the company side and undersubscribed on finding the people.
Crazy.
And they get paid. Hey, we'll hire you in and we'll help the company train you up. Can't find them.
There's a phenomenal organization that we've partnered with. It's called Venture for America. Have you heard?
Sure have. Yeah.
We have met some top-notch people. One of our first, hires in a newer generation of growth, K.N. Reed came out of there and I can't speak.
It's a good org.
It's a great what's her name? Kate Catlin was part of that.
Venture for America.
Do they really have a ditto?
No.
Diddy?
No. They have a Diddy?
I made that up just now.
Was it a P. Diddy? Was it a...
But hey, we're going to jump on a quick break.
So November 9th, where do we find out about it? How much is it? All that fun stuff.
Listen, go to AutomationAlley.com. And it's the pricing is all there. There's some good discounts, so I don't want to give anything away.
Okay, cool.
I think you'll find that it's worth it. And absolutely, I want to do the IT and the D discount for our Wednesday session.
Awesome.
Because those are easy. You come in, you get breakfast on your way into work, on your way back from work. Come see what we're doing.
Awesome. I tweeted out all the links.
Oh, thank you.
AutomationAlley.com.
My God, he's good.
That's why we keep him around.
Tom, appreciate the time. Good to see you as always. We'll definitely keep in touch.
We're
going
to
take a quick break. We're going to be back with Eric Lochner from the Out Loud Group talking YouTube content advertising. This is the IT and the D Show, and we will be right back.
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT and the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Segment 3, episode 207. This is the IT and the D Show, broadcasting live here in Studio One, Podcast Detroit. Beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG is out. So, Randy, I do the Twitter's Walker sitting in his seat. Find us online.
Out of spite.
Find us online, itandthed.com, because we are IT and the D.
And you still are not.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah,
so that's another aneurysm.
We love you. Muy, muy.
Yeah, exactly. And don't forget, so again, tomorrow night, Ann Arbor, we are at Pretzel Bell. For the event starting at 5 o'clock.
There are no pretzels. There are no bells.
There are pretzels. There are no bells.
It's like Taco Bell, but pretzels?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. You like pretzels. I do. And then next Thursday, the 10th, we are down at the Detroit School for Digital Technology for an open house starting at 5 o'clock and then doing a podcaster meetup across the street at the cool little dive bar that's right there called Donovan's. We'll be there from 7 o'clock on till whenever.
Ray's going to be there at Donovan's.
Ray Donovan.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad about the Tina Turner joke now. And then the 17th will be at Blackfin. So we had a lot of stuff going on this month.
So, hey, we are joined by you know why he's the coolest guy ever? Because his kid's sick, and he called me to bail. And I said, let me make some phone calls. He goes, if you got to make phone calls and ruin stuff, I'll take it home with my wife. So this guy's my favorite person of the day. We got Eric Lochner in the house. He's the CMO for the Out Loud Group.
My wife is your favorite person.
You're right. Just the beating you're going to get when you go home is going to be so, like, hopefully you'll, but we sincerely appreciate you being on board.
I appreciate being here. This is fun.
I'll call Casey and get her hooked up with a massage or something.
It's legit. But hey,
not that place, like a real one.
Right. Yeah. For those that don't know, I guess Out Loud Group, we've been working with you guys for a couple years now.
Yeah.
I guess let's give a quick high-level overview.
Out Loud Group, we are Detroit-based social influencer marketing agency, would basically be the long-winded version. We broker relationships between brands and social influencers and help brands find that a good, targeted, genuine brand ambassador across almost all platforms of social media. But we really concentrate on YouTube.
Got it. And that's
– whereas we have faces for radio.
Yeah, no doubt. We try to do the YouTube thing. I'm like, ew, I don't like watching that. Ew.
The camera adds 10 pounds. How many cameras are on you guys?
Yeah. But that's the one thing that I don't think a lot of people know is just the sheer amount of money that is out there for YouTube creators.
Yeah.
It's
mind-boggling.
You said a thing earlier when we were in the green room.
Well, we've talked about, like, you know, PewDiePie and, like, some of those guys and the money that they get. It's like, holy crap, but, like, you don't even have to be that huge to go. I mean, it's – some of these numbers are nuts.
No, he's saying, $100,000 for a 45-second read.
Yeah. I mean, look, on YouTube, there's two main sources of revenue. One is going to be the AdSense, where YouTube runs ads – pre-roll ads
right.
against your video, and then you get a share of that as a content creator, and then the other main. This is all from this. The two main avenues of advertising revenue. That's
right.
One. The second is integrations, as we call them. Could be product placement. Could be actual product endorsements. You know,
we will never bow to sponsors.
Yeah.
No, but you guys talked about Eero earlier. They're a good product. I have them in my house.
Too. Rock stars.
Casper. I sleep on a Casper.
Got a Casper mattress.
Yep.
Got my automatic in my car. Got my Scotty vest. Got, you know, Dollar Shave Club. Keeps me going every morning.
My copper knee. Complete.
Listen to Audible in the car.
Right.
I eat HelloFresh.
Right. We're good little podcasters.
No, it depends. Blue Apron or HelloFresh.
Or HelloFresh.
Depending on the month.
They're neck and neck, aren't they? But Blue Apron has big IPO, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they go public? They got a lot
I'm waiting for HelloFresh breakfast.
I'm just waiting for HelloFresh for it to arrive this week because that's another right. product I do.
Yeah,
that I do at home that I take. But so those two main revenue streams for YouTubers, like when you get to PewDiePie level, you're doing a couple million views a video, you're without anything else, you're in the hundreds of thousands of dollars a year.
Let me, from the
little bit.
Right. Let me ask that question because I was I found this great playlist of 80s videos, alternative 80s videos.
Yep.
New Order, all that stuff. And each video is like 8.9 million, 7.8. Like at what point of views do you like see some like six-figure revenue? Is that
– Well, that's over the lifetime of that video.
Right.
A lot of these vloggers, video bloggers.
Right, yep, right,
right. The majority of their views are going to accumulate within the first 24 to 72 hours.
Okay.
Right? And then, you know, a video that's buried five deep isn't going to increase 10% more. What you're talking about are the long tail,
yep,
fat tail, the fat tail. I'm almost cussed there.
Right.
the stuff that's going to keep accumulating views over the course of a long period.
Sure.
And that's you could say it's virtually the same as a video that, or a channel that's
that initial
channel,
pit. Yeah.
A channel that posts one video a week and it gets 1,000 views each week, right? So that's 4,000 views in the month, let's just say.
Right.
Or a video that goes up and gets 4,000 views over the course of the month. They're going to get the same ad revenue, right, from that pre-roll.
Right.
The integrations that we do, the Out Loud brokers, the Out Loud Group brokers is really – it's really bringing a brand together with an individual that is going to actually have an audience that is good for the brand. That is going to have a genuine interest and quite often enthusiasm for the brand because, look, these aren't professional actors. That kind of enthusiasm you can't fake really well.
Well, and I was going to ask you, is YouTube saturated? But I think I know the answer to it.
No. I mean, I don't even know the statistic, but it's something like there's something like 100 hours of video content that gets uploaded every minute.
I think it's more than that
now. It's got to be more than that.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's so much content.
Well, then people are talking about dumping podcasts on with just a generic kind of like when you find a cool song and it's just a picture of the 45. You know what I mean? But yeah, you know.
500 hours of video is uploaded to YouTube every minute.
That's fascinating. That's a mind-boggling statistic. If you try to even conceive of that, that content can't be consumed, which it does create this interesting tipping point, and it's always a moving threshold, but wow, that's an exciting wave if you're able to catch it.
Well, we always joke, you know, one out of every two Americans has listened to a podcast because one out of every two Americans has a podcast. You know?
That's funny.
It's true.
But to return to your point about podcasts, a lot of long-term, you know, brand studies have come back and said podcasts have really good lifetime value. So there are certain mediums like YouTube that is really good for generating trials, right? If you have a product X, it's a subscription, and you find 10 social influencers on YouTube to endorse your product that they like it and they talk to their audience about it, they might get a lot of people for the free sign up. But the number of those people that convert to paying customers is a little bit smaller, or even taking it one step further, when you really look at the lifetime value, the number of paying customers that turn into like lifetime customers, that key
ROI piece they're looking for.
It's a higher percentage of podcast listeners.
So here's the thing we butt up against, and I think this is kind of funny, that there's this group of podcast experts that try to paint
sell
these rules
book.
And
but the game changes every
SoundCloud
every
sucks
year.
And your intro needs to be this and blah blah blah. Is
your
never
podcast should only be 20 minutes long, your right. intro shouldn't be more than 10 seconds.
But like I don't hear that. Maybe you tell me, does that community exist for YouTube too? Because I'm thinking, because we come at it with podcasting, there's no rules. I'd like to think that YouTube, there's no rules.
That's
but
a beautiful thing about it, is it's the most democratic of of platforms, right? You can create the content and you can put it out there. And if it's good, people will listen to it. I don't care what anyone says. And yes, hey, there are ways to tweak the YouTube algorithm or to try to get ahead of it. But content's king. You put out good content, people will want
people
it.
People keep coming back.
I'm sorry. That's not going to change ever.
Well, we make fun of our kids watching people playing video games, and I find myself watching Battlefield 1 videos and Battlefield 4
Double
videos.
Double tap to the head when you're totally. A sniper up.
Yeah, absolutely. The guy named Oz is some Aussie video. Oh, my God, they're hysterical. And so, like, yeah, stupid kids watching YouTube as I'm
well,
watching.
Well, yeah, YouTube. Well, when we did the kids episode, it was already explained this to me. You know, why do you watch somebody playing a game that you have? And it was Gretchen's friend who was like, well, why don't you just go outside and play football
right.
instead of watching football games?
Like, you I got schooled by a 12-year-old man. She shut Dave up stat.
That's a really good point.
No, so when we talk about no rules, and here you got somebody that says, hey, I'm going to put out the show. I'm a hillbilly cook, and I'm going to put out a hillbilly video.
That sounds like a good channel.
Yeah, actually. Seriously. Every week, it's just, you know.
Roadkill Rampage.
Right. But, like, do you give it – you have any advice, or is it just like, hey, just go do?
Yeah. No, there is no single formula. It is go do. It's learn by doing. You know, find your voice is the only kind of generic advice I'd have, but – putting out steady content, putting out content.
Those are the two things we talk about with every show that comes in here, you know, because, you know, they fill out a contact form. Hey, let's meet. We'll answer whatever questions you have, that kind of stuff. We always wind up having the same two conversations with them. The one, there's no rules. You know, like I'm not going to tell you should do a 20-minute show, an hour show, a two-hour show or something like that. Experiment and find what works for you and, more importantly, what works for your listeners. You know, and figure out what they're looking for.
And what's going to work for you long term.
And then two, don't be afraid to tweak and change.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, and be genuine. I mean, that's the most important thing. Like at Detroit Startup Week, you know, I was on a panel about podcasting and a guy in the front row, you know, raises his hand. He's like, hey, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. How do I monetize it? I'm like, well, if that's why you're looking to start it, don't.
Don't. Nope. If that is totally getting the cart before the horse. You're not going to – the thing that you're monetizing, the thing that I'm paying money for, the thing that the Outlaw Group pays money for is I want to be able to access the relationship you have with your audience. Right? That's the
real – Yeah, so if you have no audience, value. You have no relationship
have
with them.
You have
yeah.
nothing to monetize. So go build that. Do something you're passionate about. Talk about content that you really genuinely like. Like I said earlier, that kind of – enthusiasm cannot be faked.
Yep.
And this is you better take the long view, because if you're talking about, oh, I'm going to do 6 episodes and see how it goes, you're dead.
Well, no, I mean, and consistency, you know, and cadence are the biggest things that we found is, you know, cuz it takes a while to train people when they should be listening to your show and when they should be checking stuff out. It takes 2 weeks of you missing that cadence, or 2 instances of you, like if you're a biweekly show or whatever, it takes 2 instances of you missing that cadence for people to just start dropping like flies.
Wow. That's interesting. That's more, I guess, on the ground intel than I usually get. Because we, as you both very well know, we do podcast advertising as well. So how are you feeling out? How are you feeling that out? How are you feeling that cadence? You're just looking at numbers and you're saying, oh, wow, how?
Well, and looking at subscribers on the feed and that sort of thing, and who's dropping off. I mean, one of the best examples we have, I mean, there's a great show, you know, and they were doing great. And in fact, they were one of the first syndicated shows that we picked up on the network. We were their first network. They were doing awesome. Life was good. They were getting 10, 11, 12,000 listeners every week. Life was awesome. And then they went dark. Like, they got busy. They forgot to do a show. They didn't, you know, they're doing a con. They couldn't get to this. They couldn't get to that. And they came back 6 or 7 weeks later with an episode again. And it's been a couple months now, and they're at 800, 900, 1,000 listeners.
Yeah.
And that drop-off started right at about that 2-3 week mark where, you know, people started unsubscribing or they started dropping off because that cadence had been missed.
I actually like the show. Those shows in that particular point of their life cycle, I love those. For me in particular, because they're kind of a proven concept in a way. Yep. Right? I've seen the numbers that they can get up to, but they've gone dark for 4, 5, 10 weeks. Their audience, their numbers have shriveled up.
Yep.
They've come in, and they've come in with the assumption, oh, hey, I'm going to, you know, in YouTube, I have 100,000. Look at my past 15 videos. I have over 100,000 views per video. But then they come back and they post, and they're at 10,000, 15,000. And they get a little bit of a humble pie. And then I can talk to them about realistic rates because, yeah, the rates that these influencers are getting are just skyrocketing. The amount that they're getting paid. You know, we like to find a happy balance for a price point that works for the client and it's worth it for the content creator.
Yep.
And I don't want to pay the content creator any more than that, not because I want to stick them, but because I want it to work long term for the client.
Yeah.
If I lock in a price that's too high up front, the performance isn't going to be there. They're going to look at the data in a month and they're going to be like, no, I'm not.
Yeah, why am I doing that?
Yeah, I'm not. That client, that brand's going to say, I'm not running that show again. But if they're not getting paid enough, they're either going to burn out, it's not a livable wage for them, or.
Yeah, or they're going to half-ass the read, they're going to, yeah. Or do whatever, yeah.
So I want to find that happy balance in every deal that I do because my number one goal is to find a long-term partnership. I want every deal I do to turn into a long-term partnership. Bob makes a joke that, you know, we're one and done, but a lot of times these brands are going to test.
Yep.
And they're going to test a single episode, and they're going to look at the performance. My goal is to do that in such a way so that single test turns into a long-term multi-show agreement.
Yep.
So
we had that with I think we ran Harry's with you guys for almost 6 months.
Yeah,
from the president of the company. Yeah,
and that's a great product. That was a really disruptive product. We still work with Harry's directly a little bit, but they have a lot of good people in house that have taken a lot of that burden. So they do a lot of stuff on their own. And they go to another agency as well, but there's so much blue ocean out there. A lot of the agencies work together, where we are natural competitors. There's still so much blue ocean that I have no hesitation calling another agency and saying, "Hey, I know you rep this influencer. I really think they'd be good for this."
Yeah,
and I'll go through them.
Are we ever going to see podcasting catching up to YouTube in terms of viewership/listenership?
No, I don't think so.
It's a little
look. God, how do I say it? I don't know. It's never going to catch up in numbers like that.
I mean, it's like TV versus radio.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. Mm-hmm. It's
yeah,
like I said earlier, there is, I think, some real advantage that podcasts have over YouTube or especially others like Snap, Facebook video.
YouTube's like to me, it's very ADD. It's 30 seconds to 2 minutes pace. And get out.
Yeah,
where people invest an hour into a podcast.
Yeah,
into 20 podcasts.
Yeah,
right. It's more of a
it's reading a book versus a magazine.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, it's slower, but it is deeper, right? And that's why I think you see a better lifetime value on a lot of podcast advertising than you do in YouTube. Now, YouTube, it's a lot easier because it's visual and they can click out.
Yep.
Right, I can put a link in a YouTube show notes, the video description box, and the special offer, it can be clicked, and well over 90%. Of the traffic goes through those links, those hyperlinks.
Makes sense.
So there's a challenge with podcasts for the transfer.
Well, from and it's
listening
you know,
to this to going to www.com/Eero. How the hell do I spell that?
Well, it's, yeah, we've talked about that.
IT in the D? Right. Is it D-E-E?
Right.
You know, it's like...
Yeah. Well, and we talked about that earlier, you know, with, you know, some of the, you know, some of the reads that we've done that have had insanely overly complicated
did you
URLs.
The Intel tone?
I did, absolutely.
All right, good job. That's good stuff.
Hey, this is why I'm Captain
This is quality
Soundboard.
Control right here.
Right.
But no, I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, and I think one of the things that a lot of people miss, and it's a conversation that I've had a lot recently, is I think the benefit that, you know, both YouTube and podcasting have is life cycle. And like you're saying, you know, like that it's that tale where, you know, you go out and you buy an ad on 97.1 or, you know, 96.3 or, you know, a radio station or whatever.
I just moved here 4 months ago. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, so a local radio station and okay, great. It's fire and forget. Like it's, you know, yeah, it happened while I was driving in the car and I'm never going to hear it again. Whereas with, you know, a podcast or a YouTube video, you know, we do a read like that Eero read is going to be there until the end of time. As long as we have, you know, our stuff out there, somebody goes back and listens to that episode 2 years from now, that ad is still there.
Well, it could be worse, though, with the earworms on those commercials, Dave, because I'll be damned.
You're still never going to buy a Kia?
I will never buy a Kia from Summit Place Kia. No, I will. I would rather drive a bike and slow roll.
Would you rather be on a pedal pub?
Yes. I'd rather be on a pedal pub than buy a Kia from somebody's Kia. That's
drinking right there.
I still know the phone number to a pizza place in Mount Pleasant that I've never ordered from or eaten from just because it was on the radio.
Well, it's like I don't want to go with the name I know because the only reason why I know Randazzo is because of the commercials that tell me to go with the name I know.
But seriously, guys, every kiss begins with K.
Exactly.
Really, I thought every kiss began with tequila. I thought that.
No, when you say like that, you
okay, I want to make one point. Yeah, go ahead. Cut you off. So in the, I don't want to call in the more aggressive podcasts now, there's a fascinating trend, which is reselling the ad space.
Well, it's like,
so
it's like all the
not living in perpetuity.
Well, so it's like it's all the digital placement of stuff that happens between a live or the initial broadcast of a TV show and then what you see in syndicate. I think Friends was one of the first ones to do that, where somebody's got a box of Frosted Flakes during the first broadcast and then it's Fruit Loops when it's in syndication. Oh yeah,
so,
that's a
so
real
with,
thing.
With ads,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, with ad spaces in podcasts, they'll do either, you know, a download or stream guarantee and or a timeline, like it'll live for 6 months and then they have the right to resell it. You have first right of refusal to go ahead and buy it again. But some of them are just smoking crack and they want the same amount for syndication.
Right. Yeah,
like,
no.
The numbers aren't going to be there.
No.
Right.
You can go away now.
Nobody watches Channel 20 anymore.
I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Right.
So it's just so they it's not going to live in perpetuity for a lot of the channels.
Right.
But
Well, and especially as more, you know, like, I mean, there are a lot of platforms now that are starting to work with the digital ad insertion. So basically, like, all we would do on our end is pop in that hypersonic marker, and that's the cue for the platform that when it hits that marker, insert whatever ad happens to be next in play.
That's not what we do.
No, I know it's not. But
we
do
live reads because I want a real, sorry to be redundant, a genuine endorsement. And I want human contact. Like I said, when I bring an advertiser to IT and the D, I bring it to you all because I think it's going to resonate with your audience and I think it's going to resonate with you. And that's a high touch thing, right? That's not
well,
a plug
and to be honest, like people have taken me to the side going, do you really – is Harry's really good or like do you really like Blue Apron?
Oh, yeah.
I genuinely like everything I've ever got. From anybody, MeUndies,
if I only would
Bomba
have
socks.
You that meat,
see
that meat club.
That's right, the meat
carnivore
sticks, yeah.
club.
We've been
carnivore
joking
club.
About that since who's dropped the ball?
They just didn't do it. No, that's we run through.
That's why he didn't come here.
Yeah,
no. That's why he's not here today.
That's why our joke with the meat tab is MEET because we still haven't gotten a meat sponsor yet. even though our boys at Detroit Cast had like Mark Kowalski grilling,
yeah.
I'm like, I want Mark Kowalski grilling in our parking lot. Anyway,
But we go through a lot of companies. A lot of companies are really looking at the digital space, especially YouTube. They're looking at a lot of people see the writing on the wall, even though some recent numbers might suggest otherwise, that the cable cutters are taking over, right? People are leaving these the cable bundle right. packages. And traditional advertising in linear TV is not long for this world.
Right.
So they're looking at, all right, wow, where are we going to spend this budget?
Well, not only that, but I mean, people are starting to ask questions about Nielsen numbers and starting to ask questions about Arbitron numbers.
Who
and
actively watches TV commercials on DVR? Everyone DVRs everything.
Yeah. Yeah, know? that's why integrated advertising is yep. here to stay. It's the only way forward because there's no other way around it.
And that's the one thing I liked about not to plug Ghost in the Shell again, but the car didn't have like an Audi symbol on it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know.
Right.
Like the Power Rangers movie, I wanted to kill it because the power crystals were under the Krispy Kreme in town.
Of course they were.
And it's like, you know what? I hate you. And I text Jimmy right away, Jimmy McKnight from the Ninja Starship. And he's a Power Rangers podcast. And I go, Jimmy, really? Under a Krispy Kreme? And he just thought, he just laughed at
yeah.
me.
They paid $500,000 yeah. to have that happen.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Did you have you eaten a Krispy Kreme since you saw that?
No, I do all the time anyway. Do I look like a guy that doesn't eat the Krispy Kremes?
I hate it when advertising works on me. I hate it, but I'm like, man, all right, fine. You got this time.
Well, the one thing that's how it, when done right, it's brilliant. Like the Italian Job with Mini Coopers that launched that brand in the U.S. Yeah. I don't think it's caught. You know. It died down a little bit. They needed to do another movie where four people rob a bank with
the
cars.
Italian Job 2.
Right.
Electric
I think
Boogaloo.
They did that. Yeah.
Teslas.
Yeah, right. Right.
No, look, integrated advertising or integrated marketing, I think, done well, it is entertainment on its own. A lot of the brands that we work with, so I mentioned 23andMe is a new client that we have. There's some genuinely compelling content there that for these influencers that these audiences, their audiences really gotten to know. They do a DNA test and, you know, there are certain restrictions about medical things, what they can disclose, what they
can't.
Yeah,
but all that, yeah.
You know, so we kind of stick to what is their heritage, right? What's their genetic background? And that is an eye-opening experience for them and it's compelling content. They get to share with their audience. When you get that sweet spot of something that actually fuels the content and is interesting to them,
mm-hmm.
but it's also centering around a product.
That's, it's like us. We could sit here and talk about Eero for an entire segment if we wanted to.
I think we have.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
At this point.
They have filtered in.
Luke,
yeah.
Luke, that's for you. I think we have. Right. Yeah, it's... What else can I tell you? What else do you think would be interesting for your audience to know about influencer advertising?
No, I think the sheer numbers is the mind-boggling part, and I don't think a lot of people realize that. And that's the thing. You have a lot of people – like we talked on break, like Tom Lawrence just built up like 6,000 subscribers.
In a couple months.
In a couple months. I mean, again, you know – we talked about at what point do they like, you know, get
when
contact
can they start to
when
monetize
they, or when do they start at least like, hey, we should give, you know, these guys a call.
So I typically don't look at subscriber numbers. I look at average views if it's on YouTube, average listens, what I call it, for podcasts, which combines downloads and live stream. Measurement's a lot harder for podcasts, right? YouTube, it's easy. Numbers right there at the bottom.
Yeah.
It's pretty cut and dry. And then there's the performance that is a lot of the, you know, we look at the data. We say how many conversions. All right, we spent $1,000 on this integration. It got 10 trials. Well, that's $100 cost per trial, right? So then you look at that long term value versus that front end. The front end, I look at the numbers. Sorry, I look at the average views or listens. Right, I use that for an initial pricing point, which is a best guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's the best you can do.
Right, and I use it in a very general sense. I'm looking for a channel or a show that I think would resonate. It's got the demo that I'm looking to tap into. It's got the personalities that I want to tap into. I pointed at these guys, by the way, for you. And then I use that as an initial launching point, but then it's gotta be tested against the data in long term.
Yep.
And if the data doesn't make sense, then we go back and we tweak this.
Well, and that's the I guess that's one of the weird things that you don't know. Like my kids are on YouTube all day long, and it's like, you know, and I get the whole marketing to kids, right? We've been marketed as you know, cereal and all that stuff, but it's, you know, that's the one thing you don't know is this an 8-year-old watching that says, "Mommy, I want Fruit Loops," but what happens if you're marketing an Audi,
right?
You know what I mean? It's like, "Daddy, buy an Audi," like that doesn't happen. That's got to be one of the bigger challenges. Am I wrong in that?
No. Again, that's one of the real benefits of integrated advertising, integrated marketing, is it's a value that I bring. I'm not gonna choose a kid's show for an Audi,
right?
Right.
I'm gonna curate like your job.
I'm gonna, yeah, right. I'm gonna curate the audience that's gonna bear fruit because I'm looking for that long term relationship, and I want the shows that I run and the ultimate cost per acquisition, the ultimate number, to be as low as possible for that company, right? Because I want it to monetarily make sense for the content creator, but it's got to perform for the client.
Totally.
So I'm not going to put an Audi on a kid's show because that's just not going to create any sales.
Right, but usually that's those predetermined commercials. You know, those are
the pre-rolls.
Yeah, pre-rolls. Yeah, those are. There's no rhyme or reason, man, to any of those.
Oh, there is. There's some smart tech behind that.
Talk to me about that, because I don't have a clue.
Well, that's all internal YouTube stuff. That's, you know, you can actually go in as a creator and turn off now, you know, because of the controversy of ads going against jihadi sites or whatever.
Right.
Great, I said jihadi on a podcast. Great, guys.
You're on the list. It's not the first time.
You're on the list.
Because of the fallout from that, the controls are getting better and better and more, I guess, articulate. But, you know, I can now go in. I can have a host go in and say, okay, we need to turn off this competitor and this competitor for pre-roll, but you can leave pre-roll up. It used to be you either could monetize, participate in AdSense or not.
Yep.
Now it's you can go in and say, all right, I have to block – If I'm doing a forward ad, I have to go in and I have to block GM and I have to block, you know. So you now have that kind of control where you can start to piecemeal the things that you need to not come in. But that's all pre-roll. And like that's done internally in YouTube. But the real smart stuff with YouTube is about – the algorithm and recommended videos. So over on the right side,
yeah,
of any YouTube video, look, they're so smart, you don't know what's happening. They're so good at it because they'll bury it. They'll have, all right, you're watching a video from this host. The first recommended video is another one from that host, and then another one from a host, another YouTube influencer that person likes. And then there's one that is close enough thematically that you can't tell. It's been, yep, artificially put in there. And then another one from the host that you're actually watching. So it's driving you. It's driving the traffic.
And that's how the rabbit hole happens.
Well, it started with Google Plus, and we all mocked it. But what did we tell Google Plus? Everything about us.
Yeah.
Right? Age, job. You know, you name it.
Well, and it knows that, and it knows your search history, and it knows your Gmail, like, and it knows your, yeah.
On my TV, when I open up the YouTube app, I'll be damned if I don't want to watch every faffing video.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that looks good.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know.
Oh, yeah.
I want to watch that one.
How do they know? I want to watch the one. Justice League trailer, followed up by the Batman vs. Darth Vader video.
How many YouTube windows do you leave up because you, oh, that page has that one video?
Yeah, right click, open a new tab. Yeah. I'll watch that one, and then I'll come back to this. Yeah. YouTube is the new choose your own adventure. Leave your thumb in the last page and pull
back.
You
hear nightmare stories about, like, you know, like I woke up 8 hours later and I'm like,
yeah.
It's like 8 in the morning. I just still like YouTube.
I don't know where my night went. Yeah. Right.
But hey, we're going to wrap things up with this episode 207 of the IT and the D Show. Erica, we can find you at outloudgroup.com.
Yep.
We'll post your stuff on the show notes after, but we appreciate the time.
Yeah, I loved it. Thanks.
It was good content. Yeah, good talk, man.
Love the insight.
Very cool.
Appreciate that. We'd like to thank our sponsors, HP and Eero, for keeping the lights on. We sincerely appreciate you. And on behalf of Bob and Dave and Randy, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. Drive careful. See you next week. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. It's game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me. I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.